This is Bob Emmons for Scanumpus Sketches. I'm talking with Bob Hills today, who has a really fascinating story about his experiences joining the Canadian Air Force and then being a pilot with both the British and the American Air Forces. Bob, how did you end up in the Canadian Air Force to begin with?
Well, I came from a small village of mostly farms. No future, nothing to do. So I thought to join a branch of the service and get an education and earn a trade. In those days, you had to have your parents' consent till you're 21, and they said no, so I took off and went to Canada.
Okay. How did you decide on the Air Force? That's kind of interesting. And when you told me the story earlier,
I got a ride with a fellow from Westover Field, Massachusetts, a sergeant, and on the way up, he had to take a friend drop off in Hartford, and he said, as long as I was with him, I had to drive to Hartford, and he's going to sleep. So while I was riding along, the girl said to me, what are you going to do in Canada? I said, I'm going to join the Army. She says, why don't you join the Air Force? And I said, I didn't know they had an Air Force. She said, that's a good idea. It's better that than the Army.
And then how did you decide to become a pilot?
Well, when I crossed the border into Canada, the Canadian Customs, they said if I wait till morning, there's a colonel going to Montreal with a couple other kids, and he'd take me with him. So I did, and when I got the recruiting office in Montreal, the girl said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, put me down as a gunner. And she said, well, why don't you try out for a pilot? And I said, well, I didn't go to college. She said, that's the difference it make. All the other Americans are trying out for pilot. So if you don't make it, you can still be a gunner. So I said, okay.
So it's funny how things in life turn out from simple happenings. What about your training in Canada? What was that like?
Well, I did my basic training in Manning Depot in Toronto. Actually, the Manning Depot was the old exhibition grounds. And then from there, I went to Montreal, St. John's, right outside of Montreal for guard duty, waiting for opening in pre-flight school. I did my pre-flight school in Victoriaville, Quebec, and then my primary training in Windsor Mills, Quebec on Fleet Finch biplane. And most of the time it was snowing, so they attached skis to the bottom, so we're flying on skis half the time. And from there, I went to Moncton, New Brunswick, advanced training on AT-6s. And I graduated in August 14th, 1942.
And then you were off to England. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, there's not much to tell about. I went over on Queen Elizabeth II. And we went over there in 5 days. Instead of going on the convoy, they went over by themselves. I can't remember the town now. Anyway, I had to get some training on a training plane in England to get to load an English cockpit, because their cockpit, everything is together, where Americans are all over the place. All their, their flight instruments are in one place, and navigation instruments another place, and all like engine instruments in another place. Anyway, I got 50 hours on a Miles Master training plane, and then went to Shropshire, I think, England, and got 50 hours on a hurricane.
Yeah, I think everyone's heard about hurricanes and Spitfires. So what were your major responsibilities when you flew the hurricane?
No, near the end of the German bombing or coming over, so the hurricanes were responsibility to go after the German bombers and the Spitfires to keep the German fighters away from the hurricanes. But we still had the capability as a fighter.
And when the Americans declared war, then you switched over to the American Air Force at that time?
Yeah, when the Americans came over, the British said that the Canadian Air Force said they'd release us, because we had to swear that we'd stay for the duration of 6 months. And they released us, and So we were sworn in, we were discharged in London, we were civilians for a week, and then we were sworn into the American Air Corps. Then we had to go to western part of England for 50 hours on a B-47 Thunderbolt. Then we went to the squadron.
I can remember making a model of a Thunderbolt when I was a kid. You mentioned something about being accused of being a draft dodger, because would you explain that?
No, when I went to Canada right after I joined the Air Force up there, I got a letter from my mother saying that I was drafted, and she had a heck of a time explaining that I was in the Air Force up here, that I wasn't a draft dodger.
And would you just say a few words about some of the missions when you were in the American Air Corps?
No, we were flying bomber escort. I started out on 47s. We switched over to 51s Mustangs. I was doing bomber escort. The major ones were the first bombing raid to Berlin. We escorted the bombers there, and then we did a shuttle raid where they bombed Berlin and went to Russia. And then from Russia to Italy, and Italy back to England again. We escorted the bombers all the way.
How many hours did you spend in combat flying?
Oh, 327.
And what happened? What did you actually? You went back to the United States eventually, obviously.
Yeah, I think it was in. When did I go back? October 44. I had finished my missions on it. I was sent back to came back to the United States. I went to Randolph Field, Texas, take an instructor's course. I went to Lookfield, Arizona as an instructor.
All the time you were flying over France, your plane was never hit one time. That was pretty remarkable. Good luck.
Yeah. No, the only thing, I got a nick of the prop once. That's about it.
Tell us a little bit about your life after you got out of the Air Corps.
Well, I went to work in a factory making silverware. Started out as a setup man, assistant foreman, and general foreman. Couldn't go any higher because I didn't have a college education. So I spent 38 years there.
And your wife was a school teacher?
My wife decided to go back to college when she was 38. She got her bachelor's in teaching and her master's in early childhood education, and she taught for 21 years after that. She retired at 65.
And you said you didn't really fly after you got out of the military. You had done enough flying for a lifetime?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah,
Just out of curiosity, how many Americans were in the Canadian Air Force when you were with it?
Well, at the time, they said that 55% of the air crew, that's gunners and pilots and everything, were Americans. And a lot of the instructors were Americans or Canadian bush pilots. My primary instructor was a bush pilot.
Well, that's a really fascinating story. Thank you very much, Bob. This is Bob Emmons for Skidumpa Sketches. Thanks very much for listening.